So apparently I don't actually have a recording of the Raven, so I'm gonna record again. And I'm in my car, so it's gonna sound really weird. Plus my mouth is really dry. Oh. Maybe you can edit this. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered, weak and weary, over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, and of someone gently rapping, rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door. "'Only this, and nothing more.' How distinctly I remember it was bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I had sought to borrow, from my book's surcease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore, and nameless here for nothing more. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before, so that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. That is it, and nothing more." Presently, my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I, "or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore, but the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my chamber door, that I scare was sure I heard you. Here I opened the door wide, darkness here, and nothing more." Deep into that darkness peering, long I stood there, wondering and fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, "Lenore." This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, "Lenore?" Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping, somewhat louder than before. "Surely," said I, "surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see, then, what thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. Oh, 'tis the wind, nothing more." Open here I flung the shutter when, with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mane of lord of lady perched above thy chamber door, perched above a bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, perched and sat, and nothing more. Then as ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, but the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore. "Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou," I said, "art sure no craven, ghastly grim and ancient raven wandering from nightly shore. Tell me what thy wordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." Much I marvel of this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore, for we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door, with such a name as Nevermore. But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing further than he uttered, not a feather than he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, "Other friends have flown before, on the morrow he will leave me as my hopes have flown before." Then the bird said, "Nevermore." Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, "Doubtless," said I, "what it utters, it its only stock in store, caught from some unhappy master, whom merciful disaster followed fast and followed faster, till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope and melancholy burden bore of never, nevermore. but the raven still beguiling all my fancy and smiling. Straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of the bird and bustin door, then upon the velvet sinking I betook myself to thinking. Fancy and a fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore, with this grim and gamely, ghastly, gaunt and ominous bird of yore, meant in croaking nevermore. This I sat engaging and guessing, but no syllable expressing, to the fowls whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining, on the curtain's velvet lining that the lamplight glowed over. But whose velvet violet lining, with the lamplight glowing o'er, she shall press, nevermore. Then, methought, the air grew denser, perfumed from unseen censer, swung by seraphim whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. Wretch, I said, thy Goth hath lent thee, but these angels he hath sent thee. Respite, respite, and nepenthe from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, oh, quaff of this, and nepenthe, and forget this lost Lenore, quoth the raven. Nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, whether tempter sent, or whether tempest tossed these hair ashore, desolate yet all undaunted, with his desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me, I truly implore, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore, quoth the raven. Nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by the God we both adore, tell the soul of sorrow laden, if, within the distant Aden, it shall clasp a sainted maiden, whom the angels name Lenore, clasp a rare and radiant maiden, whom the angels name Lenore, quoth the raven. Nevermore. But thy word or sign of parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked, upstarting, get thee back into the tempest and thy night's Plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as token of that lie thy soul hath unspoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak out from my heart. Take thy horn from out my door, quoth the raven. Nevermore. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting, on that pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, and his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er his streaming throws a shadow on the floor, and my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore.